So, yeah, I'm a werewolf. My spouse is a vampire. It works out great.
Oh, that's kind of sick. Actually, have you ever there's a comic about a vampire and a werewolf dating. It's pretty cute.
Are they gay? Because I'm only interested in if it's gay.
Nah, it's a lady vampire and a male werewolf,
But
unfortunately.
isn't being a werewolf and a vampire also like kind of gay
Yeah,
in general?
it's pretty gay, yeah.
I think if you put a werewolf and a vampire together, that's inherently some sort of queer coding.
It's inherently less heterosexual than most
Yeah, that's
heterosexual.
like gay adjacent.
Yeah, like you're closer than
Mm-hmm.
heterosexual. Not trying to like hate on the straights, y'all. It's fine. It's fine. You can do your thing,
Welcome
whatever.
to Under Gay Analysis.
Look, it's not like this podcast hasn't already been pretty gay before.
This are you, I think most of the people like that work in creative horror are queer in some way, and then not to mention most people that we've had on the show, Kylie included, and her spouse are
Yeah,
queer
no,
as fuck.
I am very straight. I'm as straight as the horizon of flat Earth.
Well, I'm just straight edge, and no one's allowed to drink at this party. It's only straight you're gonna get out of me. How's it going, dude?
Straight edge is also a wild term.
Well, thank you, Kayla, for segueing us so effectively into
Yeah.
this. I know we want to drag our feet about this, but I did want to spring this on our special guest, Kylie. Hi, Kylie.
Hi.
Hi, you want to read a Rorschach story?
Sure, I don't even know what that means.
Oh
Oh
boy. Oh,
bias.
you get to come in with no bias whatsoever. This will be great.
That sounds perfect. I'm
All
like I,
right.
that's the way I try to live my life. No bias whatsoever.
That's a healthy way of thinking. Okay,
It
so
definitely works. I have no issues with it.
well, I will not prep it more than that. Rorschach Roshan has sent us yet another story.
All right.
This has actually been in the can since last December, and
Oh, wow.
the story is titled "You Do Not Have Permission to Read This," but in the headline they said, "Obviously you do because it's just the title."
I already love it.
I
I'm
do.
already gonna rate it 15 strawberries out of a bundle of strawberries.
That's pretty considerate of you, actually.
Yeah. I don't know how many strawberries are in a bundle, so y'all can leave that up to interpretation.
Probably should send the story over to Kylie.
You know, that's a good idea.
Yeah, just send it through my mind. I'll just recite it from memory.
Okay.
Oh my God,
Well.
that would be wild if it's like, oh yeah, send me the story, and then all of a sudden you just
You
start
just know it.
reciting it,
Yeah.
and it's like, what?
Oh
What?
my gosh. Yeah, but I start reciting it in like a Owen Wilson voice. Wow.
Wow.
I'm like I said, I'm going to try and keep you as in the dark as possible, but I'm projecting it directly to your brain, flash breaking it directly into your central cortex now.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That why did that tingle so much?
You know, because that's the unique flavor that is Rorschach
Is this what all those kids are talking about, this ASMR?
Roshan. You kids in your ASMR.
ASMR is ASMR
Asthma.
still a word?
Your asthma.
I am asthma. God, oh, sorry. I should probably. I am asthma, god of silent voices. I don't know what I'm
I am the
saying.
god of brain tingles.
There you go.
This is the sound of a
Yum.
clicky pen. Anyway, if this is a shorter episode, that's okay, but I'm glad we didn't set you up for this in any way. You have no bias one way or the other. I want to get your honest take on what has become a recurring interesting meme here on Undercooked Analysis.
All right. Yeah, because I mean, everybody knows, like, for sure, clearly, I am definitely all caught up on Undercooked Analysis.
This
I
actually
am
makes me.
definitely not a fake fan at all.
It's okay. I'm not. I'm on the show, and I'm not even caught up.
How dare. On the document, by the way, you're listed as an anonymous hedgehog.
Yeah, that's me.
That's cute.
Hello, Anonymous Hedgehog.
That's me, Anonymous Hedgehog.
I love
it. Please refer to me as that and nothing else.
All right, Anonymous Hedgehog.
Oh my gosh. Like, I swear, y'all, I definitely feel old because I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to, like, zoom in on this motherfucker.
Yeah, I should probably actually do the same thing.
Like, I'm like, I can't read it. I'm like, my eyes. I'm like, what the heck? I'm in my 30s. It's not supposed to be like this.
Oh, no.
Should we roll to see who goes first?
Oh, yeah.
I literally have a d20. I've been.
I have one too.
But all right. Okay, yeah, I'm rolling. Wait, who, like, higher or lower? Highest goes first.
Yes, highest goes first. Okay. I got a 3.
I got a 17.
All right, let's see what I get. That's a 2. So, yeah, Kylie, you get to go first, then Kayla, then me. So, I'll do paragraph at a time.
All right. Okay, so I don't know anything about this.
Yep.
You know, we could also venture to make this the longest episode in UCA history. We could all go on different filibusters.
Oh, well, I mean, that's just part of the course for UCA. We just filibuster at various random times.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what to filibuster
about. I wanted to tell
you
all about my new startup.
I'm like sitting here waiting for you to tell us about your new startup.
And that was it.
Would you like to make another pitch for your book while you're here?
For my book? No. I wrote a book. You should read it.
Yeah. We talked about it a few months ago, but we could talk about it again. In fact, I will remind you that you should definitely plug it again when we get to the end of the episode.
Yeah, I'll do that at the end though.
I'm literally looking at it on our bookshelf right now.
Yeah, you're gonna have to wait around for the sweet tingling sensation when I let you know all know about my amazing book.
Hell yeah. In
whispers only and clicky mouth sounds, and I will also drink some sparkling water. So
ooh, sparkling water, that sounds good.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. I know you all love that so much.
Hell yeah.
Again,
I know it's your favorite thing. You know, like, seriously, I think, like, one of the things that I remember most, that I don't know why. Okay, I am actually going on a tangent this time. I am. Okay, I don't know why, but, like, one of the things that I remember from UCA, this was years ago, when I was listening and, you know, I was, like, reading the comments and everything, and somebody was, like, complaining about, like, one of y'all breathing or, like, one of your heartbeats or something. I don't quite remember exactly.
Yeah.
And I was like, What like device are you listening to this that you can hear the breathing of these people? Like, I'm here listening.
No, okay, that was. Oh, nope, that was creepy. I'm sorry.
But yeah, I'm just like, okay, y'all. Like, do you have on like the most sensitive headphones that exists? I don't understand. Like, I did not hear anything, but also maybe I'm deaf, so.
Let's start reading this.
All right.
Let's go!
I miss being the golden child, and my parents always treasured me the most, as I was their first child, and I had great upbringing growing up. Comparing my upbringing to my brother's upbringing, I had the best treatment in every way possible, and my little brother hated life. Oh, no.
Oh.
I didn't care, nor did my parents, and I never really thought of life when my parents will eventually die. I guess they treated so well, I was too much in a good mood to think about life when they will eventually die. I was my parents' world, and this pushed my little brother out into the real world.
All right. First impressions solely based on that first paragraph.
Well, I think we definitely need to have a discussion about tense. Otherwise, I'm at, like, this slaps. I'm so excited. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat already. I actually fell out of my chair at one point. I hope you didn't hear it.
You know, surprisingly, your noise canceling is really good for anything other than you drinking water or breathing. Or
yeah, you can hear my laugh, but me falling out of a chair? Oh, hell no.
Yeah, if you fall out of a chair, we might not notice. And then when you're just quiet, we'll be like, oh no, did Kylie fall out of a chair?
You just honestly just assume I just took a nap.
Oh, okay.
Not because of the story. not because of the story, just because I was so excited, I got fired.
I'm glad that was the case and not that you, I was about to say, because you fell out of the chair and lost consciousness, because I would be scared.
No. I mean, it's not like I'm sitting at a standing desk with an office chair as literally as high as it can possibly go.
I'm just picturing you now, like, perched on it like some sort of secretary bird.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, absolutely. Man. I'm probably 4 feet in the air right now.
Somehow,
like, I have to lift myself up to get into my chair.
The gremlin energy is very strong right now.
And also,
now.
Like a typical queer person, you don't sit correctly.
Oh, hell no. I don't think, like, listen, if I could go through life and my feet never touch the ground, you best believe those bitches would never be on the ground.
Oh, man. I've always thought it would be cool to just be able to just levitate everywhere. Not fly, per se, but just levitate. Like, I'm on a cushion of energy, like,
Yeah.
You know, like I'm from an early CGI cartoon or something.
If I didn't have to wear shoes ever again, I'd be very content with that. Because boy, howdy, I never got when people were like, "Oh my god, I love shoe shopping." I'm like, "Why? It's so stressful."
I think I have 3 pairs of shoes, not including like a pair of flip flops. I don't think that really counts as shoes. I have a pair that. My mom, their boots my mom didn't like anymore, so she gave them to me. She didn't wear them. She only wore them, like, once or twice.
Hmm.
I wear those basically every day. I also have a pair of Converse. They're not high tops. They're just, like, low cut. I definitely had those since high school. And I had a pair of Vans, but they were leaky, so I had to throw them out. It was like the bottom was literally falling apart.
I used to play bass for Leaky Vans.
Leaky Vans, yeah. You know, and you don't want a leaky van in your parking lot.
No, definitely not. So. Definitely not. No, having that in the group van was never a good thing.
Yeah. And then I have another pair. I have a pair of shoes that are like really big and puffy. I can't remember what they're called. Everybody wore them in middle school when Uggs? I was in middle school.
What are you talking about, Uggs or?
No. No, they're like skater shoes. They're like, honestly, they're like Sora from Kingdom Hearts 1.
Oh, those are okay. That's a good impression.
I don't remember my childhood or like high school or middle school years having shoes like that, but.
I don't remember my childhood. It's the trauma.
Yeah.
It's specifically shoe related. Everything else you remember with crystal clarity is just shoes.
It's
for
just
some
like this shoes this are black just... hole where the shoes should be.
Then when you in your memory you look at people's feet and you're just a blur of yeah. shadows.
I don't even know how many shoes I have.
It's not a censorship blur because
I don't even know how many shoes I have. Is it 1? Is it 20? Who knows?
I'll never know.
Let's get some shoes.
Yeah. Okay, I will bring us back around though. This so far, editing could use some work.
Yeah.
But like ultimately, what I'm getting, okay, we have Golden Child, first child, who was like beloved by the parents, and then the like scapegoat second child. So we're set it up for a potential trauma. So I'm invested. There could be some underlying deep themes going on here, and it just needs a little bit of a rewrite in terms of working on the grammar and everything. It's fine. We've all done that, so I'm cool with it. I'm rocking.
Yeah, I won't say more other than that. This is a very part of the course Rorschach Roshan paragraph.
Okay.
Cool. Particularly the consistent repeating of different things like. Almost reiterating the sentence that we just had before.
Yeah.
That's a recurrent theme, but I'll just let that hang in the air.
That's, you know, sometimes that's something like sometimes people do that stylistically on purpose.
Yeah. So, and that's part of it. I think, I mean, we'll,
I mean, clearly we're going to find out a whole lot more and I'm looking forward to it.
This is definitely on the longer side too. It's 3 pages, but it's 2,000 words total. So,
all right. Very nice.
Yeah.
I was never really popular with other people in the real world. And when my parents died, it was in that moment my whole world crushed. They were buried and I got given my parents' house, which needed serious maintenance work. Also, it was behind on mortgage payments. As it was nearing to be repossessed by the banks, I begged my little brother to let me stay with him. My little was probably waiting for this moment all his life. He denied my request and gave many reasons as to why. He was liked by so many people, and I was only cherished by two people who were my parents.
Okay. Yeah, again, like, we are definitely setting some up for, like, this is, like, clearly little brother, you know, had to deal with a lot of BS, you know, growing up, you know, probably got some therapy. And now little brother's like, yeah, no, I know how to set appropriate boundaries. So you can't do the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even sorry. Like, so yeah, no, I'm definitely on board for this story so far. Like, it's speaking my language. I'm about to open my sparkling water. So I'm, do you want the
everybody.
ASMR moment?
ASMR moment right here. Go.
Okay.
Woo! Oh!
The god of Asmer, or the god Asmer has blessed us
Asmer.
All.
Asmer be praised. Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, you got to hear me sip it. Let me see
go for it.
Let's see.
Yeah.
I got most of it, I think.
Yeah.
That was pretty solid.
Yeah. This is actually my first moment branching out into ASMR. I just like I'm starting my new career here on your podcast. I'm actually taking it over. This podcast will no longer be Undercooked Analysis. It will be ASMR with Ace.
It's Undercooked
ASMR.
ASMR.
Yes, that's it. Actually, if you do start an ASMR channel, just call it Ace. SMR.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, ASMR is perfect. It was a harsh pill to swallow, and I suffered so much, and I had so much anger towards my little brother. Many years later, I have my brother tied up in some derelict abandoned place, and I ask him a thing which he cannot speak about. Nobody has permission to hear his story or even read it out loud, but I tell my brother that he should tell us what exact story no should know, so we knew what not to know to think and think about. All right. Yep.
Let me read that again. Nobody has permission to hear his story or even read it out loud, but I tell my brother that he should tell us which exact story no should know, so we know what not to know and think about. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got it. Yeah. I got it. Basically, yeah. I want you. It's kind of like the Bye Bye Man? Is that what it is? Like,
yeah.
Oh my god. Don't say it.
And it's like, oh well, so the brother's like, oh well, how can I know what not to think and say unless you tell me what not to think and say?
Yeah, like,
yeah, it's the Bye Bye Man.
Inherently contradictory. It's great.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Don't think it. Don't say it.
Next couple paragraphs are amazing. I read a little ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're back around to you, Kylie.
Okay, here we go. I can be in the narrator's voice. What's the voice?
Good question. This is older Golden Child brother, so you get to decide.
Tell us the exact story, which you lawfully cannot say word for word. So we know the exact story, which isn't allowed to be said. I urge him to say with a knife across his throat.
Holy shit, I got chills.
Damn.
Wow.
All right, who's gonna be the little brother now? I mean,
oh god,
that's you. You're the little brother.
Promise. I see that's the little brother story from then.
We're gonna keep switching off. You get to pick a voice for this part if you want.
Yeah,
to.
just this one part, just for fun.
Okay. I don't give you permission to know this story or read out the story or tell anyone else. And here is that story, so you know. Which not to say, my little brother tells me.
Yeah. What the fuck is going on? I don't know, but I'm intrigued because I love that they're having to like almost give like legal clause right here.
It is a little bit like, all right, we signed the contract.
Your contractual
blood, apparently.
Yeah.
God, this The beginning reminds me of that.
I don't hate this setup. Like, I see, I get it. I mean, we definitely went like it was like, oh, it life was young and wonderful, and then my parents died, and now we're older, and I have my brother tied up.
Yeah.
And now he has to tell a story.
And now we're getting a story within a story, because the next thing is labeled My Little Brother's Story.
Yeah.
The beginning part, so the beginning part of the story with the parents and all reminds me of the Do It For Dan saga that I found online, where basically it's the one where older brother buys a house, and basically parents are like, you should just give your younger brother the house.
And move into a trailer.
Yeah. And that was a whole saga that I...
But Dan's special. Do it for Dan. Yeah.
Oh no!
It just gets more and more wild the more you like listen to it. If you can find it. Okay, this is your turn.
Okay, my little brother's story. I work as a concierge in a 3-block residential building, and as concierges, we have multiple job roles. He had multiple job roles, that being parcel processing, moving tenants into the apartment, and in general, dealing with the tenants. It's not a hard job, but it is fast-paced, and I am pretty good at it by now. A single mother had just moved into a 2-bed flat, and she had her 3-year-old energetic son with her, as well as her parents helping her move into the apartment. Okay.
Okay. I do the inventory with her first, and show her how the apartment utilities work and all the basics around the building, like the bin chutes and whatnot. It was all going well, and as I was walking back down to the reception, a maintenance worker excitedly came up to me to show me his invention. This maintenance worker fixes things around the building, but he is also a very skillful engineer, and he invents all sorts of things in his spare time. This time, he legit built a time machine.
What? There it is!
What?
There's the curveball! What the fuck? I love it.
I will say... The little brother's story feels like it just strayed away from the typical Rorschach-Roshan style.
Oh, but there's going to be another twist. There's going to be another twist on the this is... Oh, shit. Okay.
You might think I'm being sarcastic, but I'm not. I am being genuinely, like, fully genuine right now. I love the fact that it's a time machine... in the little brother story, because everything that we've read so far would make you think that the older brother would be the one who would want and therefore get the time machine.
Oh yeah. Because
the little brother why is the little brother getting it?
This is a very good question. And yeah. One I'm interested to see where we go.
Cause especially since, like, this is the older brother's like, I miss the times of the golden years. I miss it, the time before my parents were alive. And
yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's like, okay, like you would think, I think because like the narrator changes, like it kind of like creates this parallel almost, mm-hmm. because it's like staying in, you know, first person, but like we've switched to the little brother's point of view. And I'm like, okay, but time machine for the little brother? This is fascinating.
Okay. He put his time machine in the tank room, but even though he designed it to go to the future, it kept going back to the past.
Oh, dang. I hate when my time machine is set for the future and it only goes to the past.
See, that's why if your time machine works that way, you only go back a short period of time, so that way you don't fully fuck with the future.
Mm-hmm.
His time machine was the size of a phone book box, sorry. His time machine was the size of a phone box, which could fit 2 people in, and we both went into it, and he pressed it to go the future, but we ended up in the past again, and it was just horrible.
Oh, man.
It smelled, and the people were all backwards, and the past has nothing of real value to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's the little brother. Why would the past have any value? All of his wonderfulness is now.
Yeah, he worked his ass off to get the present. Yeah. Maybe.
Then one woman in the past then came up to me and said, by solving four mysteries, you will set off the spaceship. You will solve where the single mother's son went missing. You will solve who had been killing the resident's pets. And you will solve where the spaceship is. Then you will say something which you do not have permission to say. And this will set off the spaceship. And then the war. What the ever-loving fuck?
This is...
I what now?
This is chef kiss. This is
I love this so much.
It's so unhinged. I love it.
The single mother, because she just moved into the 2-bed flat and has a 3-year-old energetic son. Her son went missing. Yeah, who'd been killing the residents and the pets, and it's like, or who'd been killing the residents' pets, you know? And it's like, oh shit, it all makes sense, but it's like telling a story in a completely different way.
It sure is. And it doesn't give you any of the important context. It just gives you this stuff and you just have to accept that it's happening.
Yeah, I love it. Because it goes in with the whole like situation with the time machine too. And it's like, it can only go to the past. So like, I don't know. I think this is real cool.
how do they go back to the future then?
I guess they just live.
No. He pressed it to go to the future, but they ended up back in the past instead.
So did they have a button that says go to present? Like,
so, no, they were like, so what happened? I think Kayla understands. Basically, they were like, oh, we're going to go to the future, so let's do it. And they pressed it. But then they were like, oh, crap, we ended up in the past. So they reset it for the future. But then they ended up in the past again.
And then he ran into a woman while they were in the past saying,
right, I guess.
Here's your future.
It was weird and cryptic and gave them something to worry about. Yeah. Oh, here we go. We had no idea what she was on about, and the maintenance worker and I went back into the time machine and went back to our own timeline. Okay, good. So they can go back to the present, at least.
Okay, yeah, it would seem to be.
That old lady was some kind of future reader. Then, as I was back in the 21st century, the single mother who had just moved into the building came to me in despair and told me that her 3-year-old boy had gone missing.
Yo! Called it! I called that shit!
You're right! Ooh! Her parents had just gone home after helping her move her stuff into her apartment, and she was just finishing up tidying up the boxes into black bin bags. She has no idea where her son could be, and the police was called, but there was nothing they could do at that point, or at this point.
Why not?
Because the police are useless.
Yeah, that's true.
ACAB.
Yes. ACAB, yes.
I checked the CCTV, and I couldn't see anything of value to help locate the boy. When I went into her apartment, I took notice of every detail of her apartment. I noticed the large black bin bags and the mess in her new apartment. Then, as I went down to the reception, I started getting phone calls from residents who were from the same block as the single mother, and they told me that their bin chute isn't working and is blocked.
Oh, shit.
This is where the pets come in, isn't it? I didn't have time to deal with maintenance issues and with the missing boy going on. Then I started to get noise complaints from residents in the same block as the single mother, and it was about the noise on the single mother's floor. I didn't have time to deal with the noise problems at this time. I love how this person is just like, yeah, there's a missing kid, no other responsibilities, like, yeah. All other jobs, not important.
The bin chute isn't working. Tough shit, I got shit to do. Well, there's also weird sounds going on. Tough titties, I guess.
I just love this person's like, we can only focus on one thing at a time, nothing else.
Look, ADHD is a bitch, okay?
Listen, yeah, I know. Like, my ability to prioritize, it doesn't exist.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. A couple days went by, and then it hit me. And when all things seemed lost, I knew where her missing 3-year-old boy was. I went up to her apartment, and she showed me the large black bin bags she had used. I remember how energetic her little boy was when they first arrived. And I also noticed she first told me that she was wearing headphones and listening to music when she was clearing the apartment of mess when her boy went missing. The music distracted her from noticing her energetic boy going into the black bin bag and playing inside.
Oh, no.
Then without noticing, she stuffed the very same black bin bag where her son was with her son where her son was still inside and filled it with cardboard rubbish and then took it to the bin chute and threw it down the chute, which had blocked the chute, and her little boy's endless cries had caused the noise complaints. When I checked the bin chutes with the maintenance worker who had invented the time machine, it was sure enough that I was right. Without noticing, the mother had threw her boy down the chute in a large bin bag.
What the hell?
That's like, how heavy is your trash, man? Like,
seriously.
What the fuck?
Like, okay, straight up. Like, so we're frugal.
Yeah.
We could have our trash picked up from our house, you know, and not have to go to the dump every week. But no, I don't want to spend any money on having to pay for the trash pickup. So we drive our own trash to the dump. And let me tell you, if there's anything in the world heavier than used cat litter,
oh,
by all means, please, please tell me what it is, other than mercury.
I have a key question: did the little boy survive?
Yeah,
I know. I'm like,
he was in the bin chute for a couple of days.
Yeah, like, I mean, in theory, he could still be alive.
Yeah,
it's been a couple days. Yes, I don't know exactly how many. I love how this is like, it's been a couple of days. I'm not doing any of my other jobs. I'm just apparently looking for this boy.
Yeah.
For days. It's like, this is like a statement on like capitalism, isn't it?
This is late stage capitalism.
Yeah, this is late stage capitalism. That's what's going on here. I totally see through it. I'm reading between the lines.
Absolutely. There's something deeper here. And I just love how just this whole scenario is so beyond ridiculous. I love it.
It really is. Like, it feels like the setup of a horror movie that I can't explain it. Like, I keep, it's like, I feel like we're still setting it up, you know, mm-hmm. and then we're about to have the rug pulled out from underneath us. I then thought back about what that woman in the past had me about solving problems. This was the first one. The second one was one where a person in a monster costume started murdering animals in the span of a week, which were pets to the residents.
There it is.
Okay. What the hell?
That's new information. It happened during the night shifts when things were quiet. We knew which block the person in the monster costume had gone into, but we didn't have cameras in hallways or on the floors, unfortunately. Then one day there was a Halloween party in the club room with some of the residents partying, and then a tenant with that very same costume was in the Halloween party.
Okay.
Okay.
No reveal about the fate of the little boy, whether he was alive or dead, by the way. Fun fact.
You don't need to know. That's not important to the story. The mystery wasn't whether or not the boy was alive or dead. The mystery was where the boy was. We figured that out. We can move on.
Oh, yes. And then, just time to move on. No need to dwell on that. Now we got to figure out who's murdering pets.
We're the little brother. You have to understand. We're the little brother. We faced all of our trauma when we were a young person.
We compartmentalize everything hyper-efficiently now.
Yeah, we just like, ones and zeros, baby. Ones and zeros.
Okay. Is it my turn then?
Yes, it is.
The residents attacked him and the police were called. The resident who wore the exact same monster costume as the pet killer swore to everyone he didn't do it and that he was on holiday for a week when the pet murders were happening. Nobody believed him. And then something got me thinking. I started to do some CCTV searches first, and sure enough, that resident did go on holiday as I saw him getting into a cab, and the killing started after he had gone away from the building. So the question still to answer is, who wore the costume? And the resident lives alone. Then it hit me. There could be more than one costume.
Oh my God, it's almost like it's store-bought. Okay.
I love this idea of, like, these thoughts are literally hitting this person. I don't know why.
And then
just imagine this person getting just like punched in the face every time they have a thought.
All right, go ahead, David.
Okay. I went up to my coworker, who was another fellow concierge who was on the night shift. I found the email of that particular resident asking the night concierge on shift, who whether they could go into his apartment and water his plants while he was on holiday. And you emailed him back saying that you would do it, I questioned my coworker. Yes, that's true, my coworker replied as I was interrogating him while he was taking over me to do the night shift.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take over me.
So the little brother has taken it upon himself to go talk to what sounds to be like the prime suspect in the residence pet's murder mystery.
Yes, indeed.
Who is their coworker? Okay. Okay.
Don't blame me. I mean, I don't still trying to wrap my head around it too.
Your turn.
Oh, every time I record anything,
yeah,
I burp. Like I was trying really hard to be quiet with it, but
welcome to the Jameson tapes.
I think it still got picked up. I don't know. Like this is like a thing. I don't know why. It's like every single time I like sit here and I'm gonna sit down and record. You know, we're gonna do an episode. You know, something like that. Like, guess what? You have a gastrointestinal tract and it exists and it's going to do what it's going to do. And it's like, thank you, stomach.
Mm. Well, you are drinking sparkling water too.
I was about to say, to be fair, to be completely fair to myself.
True.
Okay. So when you went into his apartment by using the master key to water his plants, you must have seen the costume in his open cupboard. You have also told me on many occasions much you hate animals.
Oh my fucking God.
I kept pestering my coworker, and in all of the apartments, they have an open cupboard, but you can see what they hang. The resident told the police that he hung his monster Halloween costume in the open cupboard in his bedroom, and his plants were in his bedroom.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, man.
This feels like a design flaw. This yeah. Every apartment has an open cupboard like this.
Does it just not have a door?
I think that's the idea, that it's just covers without doors.
Okay. Okay. It's like a little like storage, vertical storage bin kind of.
It's like a shelf.
Yeah. I mean, I get what they're saying though. Like I've definitely seen this kind of thing where it's like just like an open closet kind of idea, like so I get it. I was just trying to make sure I understood.
My coworker then broke down and admitted that it was him that went into the resident's apartment on the basis that he will only water his plants, but instead he also wore the resident's Halloween costume and murdered a few pets
belonging
yeah. Belonging to the residents during the night shift. I called the police and my coworker didn't run, but kept going on a tangent about how much he hated pets.
this is guy.
That is number two mystery, which I had solved. The third mystery was a quick one to solve. One day, as I was looking at the residential building from afar, I noticed its unusual shape, which was like a spaceship. Oh my fucking God. The three-block building was the spaceship, I realized. And then I went into the room, which no one can go into.
How then? How? Oh, my God.
How did you go into the room?
Oh, wait. It says it in the next paragraph.
Oh.
Oh. Luckily, the master key worked on the door, and inside this forbidden room were the spaceship control system. That was number three, Saul, but number four was where I say something that is not allowed to be said, and I will keep it like that. I was not allowed to talk about the first two incidents as my managers forbid everyone from talking about it. And I was definitely not going to talk about the building actually being a spaceship.
Oh, no.
Did he now say it?
So the war is starting.
I love that.
We started the war.
Oh, shit. What war, though? What is this war?
The war.
The war.
I love it that it says, back to me, the golden child. Damn, okay.
We're still going to own that. You know, I'm unhomed and my brother won't take me in, but I'm still the golden child.
I might have a knife to his throat, but I'm still the golden child.
Oh my gosh. This is amazing. I love this so much.
This might be my new favorite Rorschach story, but I need to know how it ends.
Yeah. Okay, so it's my turn, right?
Yeah, it's back to you, Golden Child.
Back to me, the Golden Child.
Like, I love that lead-in.
I talked with my little brother about our growing up and why I was the Golden Child. Oh, okay, we're gonna talk about family trauma, you know, history. Okay. My little brother was intrigued and wanted to know why I was the golden child. I then told him, and it was because my parents and I are actually aliens, and my little human brother is an orphan.
What the fuck?
My parents had laid out the plan all those years ago for him to get a job into the spaceship, which everyone thinks is a residential building.
So good.
Oh my gosh. I straight up, I did not see this coming.
I turned into my real form, and my little brother then shouted, "I will never speak of this to anyone or tell the first three mysteries to anyone to set off four, which is essentially setting off the spaceship into space with the innocent residents inside."
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
David. Oh,
I know. I see it. Oh, really? Right now it has been read on YouTube and on a podcast that there only needs to be a few listeners to hear the first three mysteries to set off four. And setting off all four will set off the spaceship into space, which will then crash into my planet, causing such devastation. Then my people will see your pathetic humans on board, and they will think that they are terrorists, and they will come to Earth to destroy it, and then eventually rule it after its destruction. I tell my little brother, the meta is on point.
Oh my gosh. I told you we started the war. I told you.
You were right. Kylie, your precognition.
It's not precognition. It's spoiler vision.
Oh. Well, does that mean you were the person in the past who told them this in the first place?
I mean, I can't tell you my secrets.
Oh, fair. Oh my gosh,
You want me to just finish it off?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I grab the maintenance worker who is now dead. The maintenance worker who built the time machine. You know, I know that my plan will work when you thought that this time, that his time machine took you to the past. It actually took you to the future, and it de-evolved everything because of the destruction. I, too, have been inside his time machine, and the future is bleak for you guys. I tell my brother, who now has the look of desperation in his face.
So wait, the woman is precognitive.
No, it's literally the whole thing was just the golden child's plan. They had the woman set that up. The woman from the future told her, "You're going to cause this to happen."
It's because she's already seen it happen. It's not the she's not precognitive. She's actually from the goddamn.
This is so silly.
She just experienced it. I love this. Oh my gosh. I'm not even kidding. I really, really like this. Like, I could totally see this being a movie that I would watch or something.
Oh my god.
This is is it weird to say this might be the most coherent Rorschach story we've ever read?
And
it actually has a twist within a twist within a twist. I mean, most of the twists are just weird. And it has the trademark weirdness of a Rorschach story, but then. And then this happens, and I'm like, okay, wow. And then it got meta. That's hilarious. So I'm glad to know we all started the war.
This is more wild than Primer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we started the war, so.
It's all our fault. We're sorry, people.
You're welcome.
We gotta do it for the views, though. So if you enjoyed this podcast, like, subscribe.
If you enjoy intergalactic warfare, life is
you know, I'll do anything for the content. So
we're all just, you know, we do it for the brain rot.
Yeah, that's it all comes back to brain rot. No, yeah, honestly, I like this. It could use a little bit of cleanup. Have a little bit of better flow, you know, in the writing. And ultimately the story itself, I'm here for this. This is cool. And I love the meta. I love that this person knew that they were gonna be submitting it, you know, and so it's I don't know,
they know their reputation. Meta,
it's like,
now.
Oh, you know, you went a little too far, you know, or it's too on the nose. But I think for this, because I just did not see aliens being what was going on.
And rarely do you see aliens coming.
I still don't think it really explains why the alien brother was the golden child, other than that the little brother is a human and the aliens don't like humans, I guess.
That's classic Rorschach. It leaves you with all these questions that in a probably a more thoroughly written out story, you'd get a more cohesive meaning. And this is just the beginning of something. And Liz is saying something. I'm telling you, when I say this, this is the most coherent Rorschach story I've ever read.
Wow. I feel like blessed and honored. this is wonderful.
I'm so glad you're here for this.
Yeah, I want to see this written on a screenplay, you know, and
that would be so funny.
I can just see it playing out in my head.
Yeah, you
know, this alien brother holding a knife to his little brother's knife little brother's throat.
This knife to his knife.
Yeah,
they're having a knife fight.
They're having a knife fight, actually, and they're both dogs.
As brothers typically do, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I did not see the aliens coming. Like,
none of us saw the aliens coming, not even the little brother.
I know.
Do you want to give this our freshness ratings?
I still stick with what I said.
I think strawberries so
out of a bundle.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that was a very appropriate way. It was precognition.
Hey, yeah.
I'm going to give this Schrodinger's garbage bag shoot.
Either the child is alive or isn't alive, and we'll never find out.
You'll never know.
I will give this one monster costume in an open cupboard.
Oh, I love this story. Please write more. Please.
Rorschach has written plenty.
Okay. Kylie, if you want to go back and find the Rorschach stories, do you want to hear the rest of their work? There's plenty of them.
Oh, great. And I'm so excited. This is so great. This is like my introduction, you know, and we just get to devolve into the madness.
Yeah, it's almost like you get to go backwards. Because again, I can't stress this enough. This actually was like the closest to being like within reasonable grasp, but there's so many weird hurdles, like mental hurdles we've had to go through to be like, what?
Yeah. See, I want you to understand that you all have given me a time machine.
Yes.
And it only goes into the past.
Holy shit.
Well, if you are super keen to join us on the next season of Doctor Who, then please, as Kayla said, like, subscribe, or you know, follow this podcast wherever you listen to it. If you already do, thank you so much. We really appreciate everybody who listens and the feedback that you give us, and we've gotten a fair few bit of feedback. I'd like to give a special shout out to Unfit for Human Consumption, who has actually been leaving a lot of good feedback on our Patreon recently, just little posts here and there. It's nice to hear what you have to say, and I'm glad that you ultimately enjoyed our critique and comments about your story. Thank you again for sharing that with us. And it's just nice to see. If you want to join us in that community, we do have a Discord, which is available to those who join our Patreon, patreon.com/creativehorror. That is where you can go chat with people and actually, hey, join in on our, and actually this is open to everybody, but you can listen to a lot of backlog material, including the dregs of this episode where we talk about brain rot through various generations and bananas and things like that. But also and this is, again, available for everyone. We have a writing challenge going on right
now. Yes.
Dr. Satan has posited a challenge. The links will be available where you can find them, but bare minimum 2,000 words, maximum 5,500 words.
No. You spoke correctly the first time. Bare minimum 20,000 words. Come on, people.
20,000. Oh, yeah.
No, we have to read these.
Yeah,
exactly.
We challenge the community to write a pulp story. You're going to write it as if you are a pulp novelist in the area of pulp writing from like the late 1800s to the 1940s. You can write it in any style or genre as long as it feels pulpy. We will give you, and there are examples given in the rules. You want to look at the rules, they're available, but please check it out. We are, submissions are open now, and we will be taking them all the way up until August 15th. So you have that time to go and work on that. Dr. Satan commands it.
These stories, they are not from concentrate.
Nope. You're getting the raw deal. You get to the bottom of it, and it's just going to be just thick. It's just
a sludgy mess down there.
Exactly. We want you to give us that sludgy mess, gang.
We want you to grab an orange and like squeeze the pulp right out of it.
I'm so sorry. I have a black bin bag brain. When you said to grab an orange, I really thought you were going to say, we just need you to grab an orange and wank it.
All right, you're going in the black bin bag.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I deserve that. Just throw me in the chute.
You got it. Hey, but before we do, is there anything you'd like to... Well, first of all, Kylie, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Oh, thank you for having me. This has been so fun.
I'm so glad. This is the unexpectedly just banger episode here, I think.
Yeah.
But then again, every episode you're on is a banger. So
listen. It's because we have such wonderful, beautiful, and very, very sexy hosts for this amazing podcast.
I mean, you're quite a banger yourself.
Ooh. Yeah. And, you know, anybody who listens to this podcast is also just so very sexy.
Yeah, this is a very sexy show.
Oh my
show.
Gosh, wow. Look at that person. Their hair is, their hair is like up and you see the little things that their hair are up? Oh my gosh. Like
sexy as
I love
fuck.
That. Oh, and then that other person. That shirt. Go ahead, you can unbutton. Unbutton that shirt. It's all good.
Just a little hair.
Yeah, this definitely has no implication about anything that we have access to in your home at all.
Oh my! Is there anything you want to plug in order to distract people from the fact that you might have just admitted something terrible?
So, by the way, I wrote a book. but no, yeah, my name is Kylie. I run a YouTube channel. On YouTube, with my spouse, my partner in crime, the most amazing person in my world. Their name is Eli. We run the show called Animal Fact Files. You can learn all kinds of facts about all kinds of animals, and sometimes they can be kind of horrifying. So, might be up your alley. I don't know. Maybe I should make a playlist of like it's just like horrible, terrible. Animal episodes, like it's just the barnacle episodes. Really.
Do it.
It's just gonna be
everything
the
about barnacles is terrifying.
And barnacles. I like the fact that parasitic barnacles exist.
Ew.
Yeah, y'all. If you don't know about parasitic barnacles, you can check out Animal Fact Files and learn all about them. I also recently wrote a book. And it is called Mind-Blowing Facts About the Planet's Strangest Animals. It will blow your mind, actually. It includes over 60 animals that I can almost guarantee you've never heard of. That was my like elevator pitch to the publisher when they were like, hey, we want you to write a book for us. I was like, okay, this is what we should do. And they were like, okay, let's do it. I was like, yeah, let's do it.
And that's how Kylie nailed a book deal.
Yeah, I just happened to be one of the luckiest people in the entire world where a publisher came to me and was like, hey, you write good. That was it. That was what happened. Y'all, straight up, I thought it was a scam. I'm pretty sure I've talked about this on the channel, but I thought this was a scam, so it's not a scam. It is a real book. It exists. You can buy it on Amazon or anywhere else you buy books. I don't know.
Oh, damn.
Target, Books a Million.
Barnes & Noble?
Yeah, Barnes & Noble. I actually went to a Barnes & Noble that supposedly had a copy in stock, but when I looked on the shelf, they didn't have it, so I don't know if it was an inventory thing. Or
buyers.
I was like, oh, this is interesting, because I was going to sign it, but...
Estelle signed.
I asked for permission. I went to the front desk, and I was like, hey, is it cool if I do this? And they were like, oh my gosh, that's so awesome! And I was like, yeah, it's really awesome. Where's the book?
I'll look up and see if there's any in Barnes & Noble near our area. And if you next time you come and visit, we'll go to that book, to that Barnes & Noble, so you can sign it.
Yeah, that sounds great. I haven't even been to the one where I live. Like, this was the Barnes & Noble, like, 3 hours away from where I live.
Oh, wow.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it was just like, oh hey, you have it. Like, cool. I haven't even been to the one in my town.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so bad at, like, marketing myself. I'm so bad.
Aww. But we're here to help you.
Yeah, so help me out, doing. UCA. Give me all your pointers.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know how we do it ourselves. I'm actually still surprised people listen to this show. I mean, considering that we did the ending a while ago, and here we are still going.
Yeah. If you're still listening, hey, what's up?
All right, time to go into the shoot with you.
Yep.
You
sorry, walking? Kylie. Into the shoot. Bye. Into the shoot. Yeah. Oh my god, yes, I'm gonna do that.
Good evening, intrepid listeners. This is the Pasta Shade, the host of Midnight Marinara, and this podcast is part of CreativeHorror.com, a network of podcasts and creators working together to build a constructive community of horror fans. For more content like this, visit us at CreativeHorror.com.